Judy, thanks. It's Bill F. It's Wendy Snyder. It's Tuesday. We're in the All Case Studio, Wendy.
A lot of people, All Case all the time.
A lot of people will call it the All-State Showcase Studio. I don't have time for that.
You just combine everything. Yeah. That's the way to do it, Bill.
Yep. It saves time and it saves
Bleff.
Money.
I'll just call you Bleff.
That's better. I always felt cheated, speaking of that name, because...
You don't have enough letters in your name.
Not only do I not have enough letters, they're all either L's or F's.
Yeah,
that's
I
all
think,
you get.
Can you buy a consonant?
I'm thinking about buying a consonant.
Get Vanna White on the line, Jasmine.
Did you used to play a game? We played this in first grade and second grade at St. Damon's School in Oak Forest. I don't know if other schools played this, but we would play a game where we would write our name at the top of the paper, and then we would have to form as many words as we possibly could out of the letters in our name. And
which
I
class
lost.
Was that during? History? Because that's when I did it. Ah.
It was just first and second grade. It was like homeroom. It was just like one of those time wasters where the teacher just goes, I can't put up with this anymore. I'm just going to have them write their names down and pick words out of their names. I lost every single time because I only have 8 letters and it's all L's and F's. So I didn't have anything to write down. The kids with the longer names, the lucky Italian kids, would have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of words.
With all the vowels in there?
Yes. It was not fair. And when you tried to plead that to the teacher going, we're not given the same tools to work with. He's got 83 letters in his name and I've got 8. They won't hear of that.
You can spell fell.
Yeah, fell was always on there.
Ill.
Ill was on there. Lib, but then I'd be called out on that because it's short for liberation, so I didn't get that one.
That's it. 2 words.
Well, Bill is also a word.
Well, it's already in its form.
It's in there.
Form.
It's easy.
Fell, your favorite actor.
Norman Fell. I'm a huge Norman Fell fan.
And ill when you didn't want to go to school.
Right. So I was done. Like, as the game was starting, I was done. I found all the words, but all the other kids could continue to play. It didn't seem fair to me.
I got to see how many I can get.
Oh,
so
you
far,
can get a bunch.
End, red.
Yeah, you could go all day.
Den.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Is
well,
that
at least
fair?
I beat you.
And how long did it take you to win?
Seconds.
30 seconds, 5 seconds, yeah.
How did the Italians spell, oh!
Ay, like that? Because they don't have exclamation points in their names. To spell that word correctly. That, by the way, is my favorite. I think I first noticed that word on The Sopranos. I know it probably existed prior. But for those of you who didn't see The Sopranos, or if you did, you'll remember this word. There was a word used on many episodes of The Sopranos where they would say, oh, I love that. And I can, as a non-Italian, I can't get away with that. I can't say that.
Didn't Andrew Dice Clay do that too? I mean, it was a little different.
He did a version of it.
What was his tagline?
I've tried everything to erase him from my brain.
Where's he been lately?
Actually, he makes legitimate movies now. He was in Woody Allen's last movie.
He good?
He was great in it. I can't believe I'm saying that. The one with Cate Blanchett, where I don't know if you saw this movie.
No.
She's got a troubled relationship with her husband and with her sister. He plays her sister's boyfriend or husband, I don't remember. And I can't believe I'm saying this out loud. Andrew Dice Clay was really, really good in it.
Well, we have to start that feature, Where Are They Now? You know, you go
I'd
through People
that.
Magazine, and they have one of those things,
yeah.
Like, where is Leif Garrett?
Yeah.
We should do that, but you don't like Andrew Dice Clay. Would you talk to him? He's a good actor now.
If I was forced to, he wouldn't be.
All right, we'll get someone else.
All right, find somebody else. If you want him, we can get him, but I'd rather it be people that I like. Because at some point, if it's somebody I don't like, I'll go, I don't like you, and then the interview would be over.
There's no way you'd say that to him. If you would say that to him, I want to book him, and I will give you $100.
All right.
I don't really have $100 to give to you.
Oh.
I know that kind of ruins it. I'm bad to bet with. Somebody suggested if you used William, you would have had more.
I could add more, but if you use William, for me, it sounds like everyone's mad at me. Like, I only equate that name with somebody being mad at me.
William Wayne.
Yeah, that's what it is. That somebody's angry at me, or you wouldn't say that, you know?
Billy Wayne and Wendy Sue.
Doesn't it sound like we should be, seriously, on a crick somewhere, yeah, with weeds in our mouths?
Maybe we should change it.
All right, we'll change it. Mark Sapels is coming up in just a little bit. I bet he could spell a lot of words in his name. That's what we'll talk to him about.
Pub?
Yeah, there's one right there.
There's the first one.
It's us. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
I am such a Bears fan now because they won one game.
Right.
In such a stellar fashion that I'm going to put all those fat heads on the ceiling of my bedroom.
That will be quite a spectacle when people are in there.
Mm-hmm.
Mark Supelsa joins us right now. Mark, it's almost worth taking a trip out to Wendy's place to see what she just described, isn't it?
You mean, so she would replace the mirrors on her ceiling?
Oh, stop
with
it.
The...
Yes. I'm going to put them over the mirror.
That's right.
Oh, gotcha. Sorry about that.
They would, so the mirrors would still be there, but you'd also see Chicago Bears fat heads.
The only reason I have the mirror is to see if Jimmy Mack is still alive.
See his breath on him?
Right.
Poor Jimmy. Oh, man.
Mark, it said at the end of this, the read just now, only at participating Jewel Osco locations, and I'm sure you've heard that, they'll always say at participating Burger Kings. What store goes, I'm not playing along with these rules?
Yeah, especially when it's something so positive.
Right.
Nope, there are no fatheads here. Leave.
Count me out.
Get out.
I want no part of your game.
Right. You want fresh produce? Fine, but no fatheads.
Right. That's not for us. Are you, you're something of a baseball fan, aren't you, Mark?
I very much am, yeah.
All right. Did you notice this, that for years and years and years in this city, whenever the Cubs or White Sox would be mathematically eliminated, and it's happened several times, that was, there was some fanfare to that. This year, and I noticed it last year too, it was just like nobody paid any attention to it at all.
That's a pretty good point. I think the reason is because both teams went into the season predicted to be mathematically out by the end of April.
Yeah.
You know, so I mean, I don't think there was any anticipation, but yeah, I think you had other years where there was a real shock, and
yeah,
obviously an 05 Sox win. They had several playoff years. You had the Cubs with several playoff runs, you know, even during the Jim Henry years, where they were one of the better teams in baseball, not, you know, 2003 withstanding, but I mean, I think that's probably why. It was like, oh, well, this is the rebuilding year for the Cubs.
Sure.
And the White Sox sort of too, so they're out of it.
I know. But there was, like, for me anyway, there was some sadness on that day, because you went those 6 months going, oh, anything can happen, and then when it would just fall apart on you, you'd be sad for a day.
Well, let me double your sadness. Now, you know, there are two wild card playoff teams in each league, so you have a better shot at
True.
Making the playoffs. So now you really should be sad that, you know, in June we're all going, well, anyway, we'll play spoiler.
Yep.
You know, so.
Who's out of it already?
There's only a handful of teams, and we're two of us are among them.
We're both out of it,
yeah.
Both teams?
Yeah.
We
stink.
Yeah, because you're down to, what, 14 games or something along those lines. So, yeah, there are a few teams that are just kaput.
Yep. It's so sad, but so true.
Oh, well, bring on the football.
Bring on hockey.
Yeah, I said that last week, that I think we're bypassing the Bears town to make it a Blackhawks town, but then I'm taking that back, because I don't think that's really ever going to happen.
Exactly. It is a Bears town. I mean, no question about it, you know, and I wasn't here in 1961 with the Blackhawks and the championships and everything else. It was definitely a Blackhawks town as well, but this is a Bears town. They start winning, look out. The place turns orange, and black and red kind of goes to the side.
Let's hope that happens. That would be really, really nice. I need to ask you about this. There's been this respiratory virus in the news. There's been Ebola in the news. Now, people always say, Mark, whenever these types of topics come up, this is a media creation. The news people are trying to scare us. These aren't really the threat that they make them out to be. You're in the media. What do you think?
No, I mean, I disagree. I don't think it's a media creation. Now, this is two different afflictions. Therefore, the seriousness of one is far greater than the other. Now, what is the chance of Ebola turning up, you know, within the population here in the U.S.? I would guess, and I'm not a doctor, but very, very slight. The president just spoke about it moments ago, live, you know, from the press room, talking about a plan to keep it at the border, so to speak, even though we've had a couple of volunteers and doctors come here to be treated who got it. So, I mean, are we saying that, you know, watch out, little Billy could get Ebola at elementary school? No, I don't think so.
I don't care about little Billy. I care about big Wendy.
Yes.
I do not want Ebola.
And I don't think you're going to get it, put it that way. Now, that said, it is a massive problem overseas at the moment, and I think the goal is they're having trouble containing it. Therefore, can it spread? Possibly, but I think that's what the White House is talking about. In terms of the enterovirus, you know, the CDC said, look, the enterovirus, that type of thing occurs every year.
Mm-hmm.
In this particular form, with these clusters in these particular cities, maybe not so much, but, you know, so is the media inventing it? No, it's there. I mean, it's, you know, 10 states reported clusters, and it was really just local schools saying, hey, we've got a problem here. Let's send them to the hospital. And the hospital reported the CDC, and the CDC said, oh, well, there seems to be something here. But Is it a fatal problem? Not necessarily at all. So I don't know that we're overblowing it. I think we're just, I think hopefully we're just reporting it.
We had Dr. Julie Morita on last week talking about the enterovirus D68, and she said it's really it's a bacterial thing, so antibiotics are not going to help. And and the biggest problem is if you notice a child who has trouble breathing, wheezing, and kids who already have asthma, that's who is going to really have a problem with it. But it's already in 21 states.
It is, but you know, when you think about the flu, the flu is in even more states when it runs rampant. And, you know, we raise concerns about that as well. And the flu is probably more deadly than the enterovirus, even for folks with, you know, the concerns with their chest or the concerns with their breathing or asthma, what have you. So, I mean, you know, I mean, it is all relative. And I think Dr. Morita really last week when she was going before the cameras, I think put a pretty good touch on, let's keep a level head about this.
Yeah, don't panic. Hey, do you get a flu shot, Mark?
I do. We have a divided household, though. My wife doesn't believe in it or doesn't think you should be injecting that stuff into your body. I don't take any chances. I just do it.
I do it, too. We all do it in our family. Bill, you do not because you're afraid of shots.
I'm scared of needles.
Needles. Yeah. I understand. I'm not afraid of needles. And you know what? I just think, what the heck? I'm going to take it. If I die early because of it at the end of my life or shortens my life, fine, but I wasn't throwing up in between. You know what I mean?
So that makes perfect sense.
When's the last time either of you had a flu so bad that you were at home in bed with a fever for a week?
Grade school.
Yeah, kind of me too.
I had an adult version of that, and actually my wife, she had a, you know when they say you've got full-blown flu, it's 14 days?
Yeah.
She had 13 and a half days of a really bad flu, and she got the flu shot the next year, didn't get the flu, and then the next year said, you know, I'm not going to do it this year. I said, okay, it's up to you, but this is about 5, 6, 7, 8 years ago, whatever it was, but it was a really bad flu, and I remember thinking, wow, this is really what it looks like right here. She can't get out of bed until about day 12 and a half.
And you can understand, Mark, how an older person, and I'm not saying Mrs. Sapelsa is an older person by any stretch, but a much, much older person than your wife, if their immunity system is bad, the flu could do you in.
Bingo. And same thing with a younger child. Yeah. That's what they technically say. So,
God,
I mean,
12 and a half days in bed? Maybe I won't get my flu shot this year. That'd be great. A nice little rest.
Yeah.
You know, I'll tell you, it's one of those where when you feel so badly, you actually think you're going to die.
Yeah.
I
mean,
All right.
I remember her saying, this is the worst. I mean, it's day 10. When's this going to go away? And, you know, and it was like 13 days. She goes, I'm starting to feel a little bit better to get up and actually feed myself toast, you know. And it was 13 days. I was like, wow.
This
is the real flu. Yeah.
And how many times did you say, I told you so, honey. Get your shot.
I've learned one thing, Wendy. In my house, I never say I told you so because it gets me into trouble because then she goes, I told you to sleep in the garage. And that's always where I went.
You are a smart man.
Oh, mommy's happy. Everybody's happy. Yeah.
It's Mark Sapelsa. Watch him on the Channel 9 News. Mark, thanks so much. We'll talk to you next week.
We'll see you at 4 o'clock, guys. Thanks for watching, and I'll talk to you next week.
Perfect.
Thank you, Mark.
Bye. More after this. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. It's Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder on WGN. You can give us a call at 312-981-7200 or a text. Both Wendy and I are holding copies of a book that is the definitive Bible of everything Saturday Night Live. It's called Live from New York. It's written by James Andrew Miller and Tom Shales. Jim Miller joins us right now on the phone. Hello, Jim.
Hey, thanks for having me.
We're thrilled to have you. Jim, honestly, Wendy and I were just talking about how back in 1975, right, that first episode, we both watched it separately, but who would have known that all these years later, 40 years later, this show would still be so alive and vibrant?
Crazy, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, this is one of the longest running acts in showbiz history.
Now, Bill and I both have your previous book, and this is where the confusion was. That one had like a gray dust cover. It was like LP sized, and that covered all the way up to the 2003 season. Is that?
2002.
Okay, the 2002-2003 cast. That's when Seth Meyers, Fred Armisen, Will Forte, they were just featured players at the time. And this new book, Live from New York, picks up from there until now, correct?
Right. And just felt like, not only in terms of the 40th season and celebrating the upcoming 40th season, but there has been so much that's gone on over the past 12 years. It was just, too good to miss out on.
Jim, you guys both, you and Tom, do a great job of interviewing everybody connected with the show. What has surprised you? This has been such a special project for both of you. What have you heard? What have you read? What have you gotten out of the cast and crew that has surprised you?
Well, one of the great surprises of the past 12 years in this new book is that the culture at the place has changed. For 30 years, obviously, there was a healthy amount of sex, drugs, and rock and roll going on at Saturday Night Live behind the scene. And it turns out that this new group is much different, and the culture at the place is different. You know, Tina Fey told me, she said, "Jim, you know, we're all worried about making appointments with our personal trainers." You know, another cast member said, "I'm a vegan. You know, I couldn't drink like they drank in the past years." And there were at least two or three cast members who looked me in the eye and said, "Jim, I'm so glad I wasn't here back then, because I don't think I would have been able to handle it. I don't know how they got the show on the air." So it was just interesting. This, you know, now I think the cast is a little older. Some of them have significant others. Some are married. Some even have kids. And the last thing they want to do is go to an after party at 3 a.m.
That's a good way of looking at it.
It's a great
way. You know, I didn't realize that.
Do you remember, Jim, during I don't remember who the host was, many years ago during one of the cold openings, they said, I'll go to the writer's room and figure this out. And they walked into what they said was the writer's room, and this cloud of smoke just came out, and the cloud loved it because it meant they were all in there smoking dope. But that's how it really was back then, right?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. In fact, they, in the early days of SNL, they purposely moved the writers' offices and the producers' offices away from the elevator bank that carried the executives. So there wouldn't be any kind of crossover whatsoever, or for that matter, smells wafting into the wrong elevator shafts.
Yeah, no remnant smoke of any kind. Bill and I were also just talking about this off the air. This is one of the shows that there have been some bad casts, there have been some bad shows, but to this day, I don't necessarily watch it live every week, but I DVR it, and I watch it every single solitary week.
Yeah, you know, SNL winds up being like your favorite sports team, right? I mean, because there are great seasons, and then there are like transition seasons. And when you lose somebody, you know, that's a fantastic cast member, like a player, you think, oh my gosh, what's going to happen? And the key to SNL over the years, and the reason why we're talking about the 40th anniversary, is because, you know, when like Phil Hartman leaves the show, all of a sudden Will Ferrell appears. And when Kristen Wiig leaves the show, now we have, you know, Kate McKinnon. There's just been, through the years, this amazing, and started when Chevy Chase left and Billy Murray came onto the cast after that. So there's always this amazing capacity of the show to kind of regenerate and to, you know, redefine itself.
But if we can use another sports analogy, isn't it built like a sports team is? Like, if you lose your shortstop, you got to find another shortstop. So don't they purposely look for somebody to fill a gap when somebody leaves?
Well, easier said than done.
Yeah,
right?
It is, right.
I mean, you know, because it's like when Tina Fey left, try and find somebody with that IQ who can write so well, who can perform so well, who's also a leader when Lorne Michaels, the executive producer, isn't in the room. I mean, yada, yada, yada. It's a pretty big challenge. But I do think, to your point, people still watch it, or at least they DVR it, because, you know, when it's bad, you kind of like shrug your shoulders and you think, boy, I really missed the days when it was good. But when it's good, you know, and that was one of the fun things about like writing about 2008, for instance, when Tina came back to the show and played Sarah Palin.
Yeah.
Amy Poehler was playing Hillary. I mean, when it's good, it just, you know, it's the first thing you want to talk about on Sunday morning with your friends.
And I have to tell you, I feel old, because that is the only way I find out about new music now is by watching SNL. I watch it with my 15-year-old son, and he's like, oh, yeah, Mom, where have you been? But, I mean, really, I'm so unhip now.
I have to tell you, I'm right there with you, because there were a couple times last season where I looked at my 14-year-old daughter, and I said, can you, what's going on here? And she looked at me like, Dad, are you kidding me? You don't know? Oh, my gosh. You're so out of it. And, you know, but look, it is a great thing. I happen to love when, you know, they bring back groups that were, you know, around during the Clinton administration, at least. And, you know, that's still a lot of fun. By the way, the musical acts appearing on Saturday Night Live as the musical act is still a huge deal. As much as the music business has changed, you know, with no more Tower Records and everything on iTunes and everything else, it is still a big deal to get that slot.
Well, I've noticed that almost always, whoever the musical guest is, they buy commercial time, too. You've seen that, right? Like, whenever there's a new album breaking, they're promoting that album right after the band has played.
Well, the same thing happens when, let's say, Seth Rogen hosts. Your chances are, in the first 20 minutes, you're going to get a commercial for Seth Rogen's new movie.
Yep.
I mean, they feel like they have you locked in there, and you might as well, you know, if you're tuning in to watch them, then they want you to know about other things.
Jim Miller is our guest. He is the co-author, along with Tom Shales, of Live from New York, The Complete Uncensored History of Saturday Night Live, a fantastic book. What an incredible book. Can you stick around for a couple minutes, Jim?
Absolutely. Thank
you. All right,
you.
We'll pick the absolute. We'll absolutely right back at you. We'll pick this up in a little bit. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. It's Bill Leff and it's Wendy Snyder. Along with Jim Miller, Jim is the co-author, along with Tom Shales, of Live from New York, The Complete Uncensored History of Saturday Night Live. Trust Wendy and myself, this is a fantastic book. You'll love it. Really, really good.
And Jim, we both have the first book, and I, being in radio a long time, I would always bring it in the studio when we would have someone from the SNL cast. So mine is signed. Bill, why didn't you bring yours?
Because John Lovitz wanted to charge me to sign that.
You know, it was really cool. I feel kind of a little strange mentioning this, but there are cast. I found out there are cast members who, when they're cast in Saturday Night Live, they go out and they buy the book, kind of like they call it the manual.
Yeah.
And then they keep it, and then they have all the guest hosts sign their copy. So it made me feel really good.
That's awesome. And speaking of guest hosts, and there's one person that totally stands out in my mind as someone I was not a huge fan of until I saw them appear on SNL as the guest host, and he was funny as hell, and that's Justin Timberlake.
Oh, yeah.
He was the best. Now, you have an interview with him in this new book as well?
Yes, I interviewed Justin, and I have to say, over the last probably 5-10 years, he's probably the best guest host the show has. First of all, I mean, he's been doing it since The Mouseketeers. He's just been, you know, not doing the show, but being in the entertainment world, so he's a pro. He's also so obviously musically talented. He can act, and he's just one of those guys. Everybody on the cast says, you know, when Justin comes in to guest host, it's just like an easier week. You got like all this wind at your back because he's so collaborative and he enjoys being on the show so much. And so many of his sketches work. I mean, he can take average material and make it outstanding, not to mention the fact that his musical stuff is fantastic, too. So, yeah, I completely agree. I really enjoyed interviewing him, and he loves the show.
Jim, if Justin Timberlake is one of the best hosts Saturday Night Live has ever had, would the worst be Steven Seagal or Broderick Crawford?
Well, Steven Seagal is in a whole league by himself.
Yep.
He's just in the Mount Rushmore of bad hosts. I mean, he's got that first prime spot.
Yep.
And then, you know, actually, Milton Berle, Desi Arnaz, they're up there too. But Steven Seagal, he somehow managed to alienate everyone, to tell everyone that all their ideas were crap. He went through the place like a neutron bomb.
Yeah.
And it was very tough sledding. I don't think he's going to be invited back.
Well, you kind of need a sense of humor to be a part of that show, and there's no evidence of Steven Seagal having a sense of humor.
Well, listen, this is a radio show, right? So he doesn't know my face, so he can't drag me down
right.
And crap out of me. But I would have to say you're absolutely right.
Yeah.
And I like the athletes. Was it Peyton Manning who was on?
Peyton Manning was
great. Pretty good.
Yeah.
That shocked me.
You got to be able, Scarlett Johansson, to drop a name.
Yeah.
I interviewed her because she's guest hosted a couple times. And she said something really smart, which was, you just got to be able to let your guard down and just go with it. You know, the guest hosts who are like big celebrities or athletes who are worried about their image and, well, wait, am I going to look goofy doing that or whatever? They wind up then, you know, not really going for it. You got somebody like Peyton Manning who's willing to, like, dance and act goofy, and Scarlett Johansson who, you know, says yes to a lot of their ideas. That's when it becomes really fun because you get to see them in a whole different way than you know them already.
Is it possible, we're 40 years in now, Jim, is it possible to pick the ultimate all-star cast for Saturday Night Live? If you had to name 7 people, could you do that?
Oh, my gosh, it's like picking amongst my children. I would say this. I would say that Look, you got to start from the beginning. And I personally, you know, part of it was new, but part of it was just the talent. I mean, if you look at John Belushi and Gilda Radner, who both sadly are not with us.
Yeah.
I mean, their presence on the show, what they did on that show was incredible. I mean, obviously, Billy Murray and Danny Aykroyd, you could just go with the original seven. But I would start with Gilda and John. Eddie Murphy was probably one of the most important cast members in the history of the show. He probably saved the show because
yeah.
there were some lean years there. Phil Hartman is absolutely so special. Will Ferrell, Molly Shannon. I'd have to say Tina Fey only because of what she did both in front of the camera but also behind the camera, because she was a brilliant architect as head writer and had a, you know, an amazing voice. And, you know, I mean, I could go on and on.
You
but,
could end it with Garrett Morris. He
Garrett
was the funniest.
Morris.
Garrett Morris.
Kidding.
Oh,
maybe.
Do you remember the news for the hard of hearing?
Yes, I do.
So, he said.
Right.
But the word for your listeners who haven't seen Garrett or haven't seen it in a while, Chevy Chase and Garrett Morris did a sketch about word association, and it's on YouTube or Hulu or whatever, and it is really, it's raw.
It's shocking.
Richard Pryor is in there, correct?
Yeah. Oh my gosh, it is just crazy.
Yeah.
It's
totally
good.
Politically incorrect, so enjoy it.
Well, it's been one of the most influential television shows of the time, and the book certainly captures every moment of it. The book is called Live from New York, The Complete Uncensored History of Saturday Night Live. Jim Miller, one of the writers, along with Tom Shales. Jim, really, what a masterpiece you've put together. This is the perfect book.
Oh, thank you so much.
And Amazon.com, is there any website you want to give out for?
Barnes & Noble. For some reason, my publisher is in a ground war in Southeast Asia with Amazon.
So, okay, sorry.
Barnes & Noble's the way to go.
Go to
Barnes & Noble for a while.
And you can do Barnes & Noble online, but it's so nice to go into a bookstore and actually pick up a book and touch pages.
Isn't it?
Well, that would be heaven. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I like the smell of books, too. Is that
nice.
Just me?
No, it's everybody. Jim, thanks.
You can go into therapy for that.
Yeah, I already have. I'm enrolled.
Jim, thank you so much. Well done.
Thanks for having me.
That's Jim Miller. The book, again, Live from New York. Back after this is Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Now, what game is this?
Frogger? No, it's not Frogger. I don't know what this is. I've heard this before.
I have too. It's not Mario.
Is it Legend of Zelda? I'm not sure.
Jasmine, I'm very proud of you, but I don't know what it is.
It's some game.
I bet Bridget Carey will know what that's from.
It's Postal Service.
Oh, it's Postal Service.
Yeah.
Bridget, did you know that?
No, but I liked it.
You could have won a prize, Bridget.
Postal Service. I know that when Bill and I used to play a game called Post Office.
There was no music at all.
And it was stupid. Didn't you get locked in a dark closet and have to kiss someone?
You had to kiss somebody and your mail arrived late. That's why they call the post office.
You hoped. You hoped it wasn't a speedy delivery.
Right. Wow. Yeah.
All right. It's Tech Tuesday, and now I'm sure Bridget Carey is going to hang up after that little introduction. But she is from CNET and host of the CNET Update. And Apple Talk, is this just going to happen for the rest of the year?
Well, it's certainly ramped up this week because we're getting the iPhone in stores on Friday, and the iOS 8 software upgrade comes out tomorrow.
Bridget, last week was a very, very busy day for everybody in the world of technology. Was it as anticipated? Did you know what was coming? Did it play out the way you thought it would?
Pretty much. All the rumors really kind of came true when it came to, you know, you having two phones, having a smartwatch. So it was just more exciting to see, or interesting, I should say, what the smartwatch was going to look like and what it was going to be called, because we didn't see any leaked images of that yet before the event.
So people bought it without even knowing what it was going to look like?
Oh, well, the watch isn't even for sale yet. You got to wait next year for that, actually. This is like a preview. But the phone itself, yeah, the pre-orders kicked off on Friday, and it was so busy that the website went down. For Apple, it was down for like 2 hours.
Oh, no.
For Sprint and T-Mobile, they were having major problems with the traffic. But even with all that, there was record sales of pre-orders. You have people buying 4 million of these new iPhones in the first 24 hours. At least that's what Apple's telling us. So it looks like that the sales could be bigger this year than they could for other iPhone launches, just based on that information.
I understand the new iPhone and all the fervor that it gets, but tell me this, with the watch, who is Apple's target audience? Who are they pointing that at?
People who will always want to be the first in tech will always buy something like that. But I think
so. Computer geeks.
Yes. Yeah. Definitely the geek squad crowd. But also people who want to be really into health, because there's all these gadgets now for tracking your health. And maybe they have an iPhone and they go, you know what? I always wanted something to track my health. Let me go with Apple's version, because you just trust Apple to be good.
Yeah.
And also we'll have to wait and see what other kind of cool tricks it can do. Because when you see how it betters your life, then maybe you'll buy into it on the second version, or a little later when you see your friends have it.
I have a question, and I heard, I don't know if this is accurate or not, because I heard it on our Steve Cochran show.
It's
and
not accurate.
That's what I thought.
It's not.
But I heard on that show Andrea Darlis mention that the iPhone 6 Plus was sold out, but how could it be sold out if you're pre-ordering it?
What they mean is sold out of the original inventory. So right now the wait to get one is much longer. You're looking at about a month if you want to order now online. It'll be a month before it hits your door. And it looks like because of that, if you put that together, you might have a harder time maybe finding one in stores, because clearly Apple doesn't have as much of a supply on these extra large models than they do of the regular iPhone 6. Both of these are bigger than what you're used to seeing, but that 6 Plus is getting into extra, extra large territory. It's 5.5 inches in screen size.
I should have gotten that one. I'm so mad at myself for getting a 5S.
And Bridget, I heard that if you get one, you'll be able to fly and you'll live forever. Is that true?
It's magical, they always say. So you never know, right?
That's pretty
cool.
That's
the word that Apple uses.
We've got Bridget Carey on the line. If you have any questions, and it doesn't have to be Apple-related questions, 312-981-7200. We're going to take a quick break, take a look at traffic with Leslie. This is very techno-inspired,
nice?
Too.
This is very nice.
I'll just say Technotronic.
It's all right.
All right, it's Tech Tuesday. Bridget Carey on the line with us. She's host of CNET Update, and I go to CNET.com all the time before I purchase anything, download anything. I really like that website.
Yeah.
And we were talking about the new Apple iOS 8 system, which, Bill, what did you call off the air?
The EOS. I just say EOS, Bridget. It saves me time. Is that all right? Should I check? Do I have to run that past Apple headquarters? I don't know.
EOS.
Yeah, the EOS.
What do you think?
I love it. I love it. I want to start that trend with you. I'm going to start saying it on my show that way.
All right.
I get a lot of comments.
That's fine.
That'll be a shout out to you, Bill Leff.
Fine. I like it.
All right. So now this is going to be on the iPhone. This is the new update.
Yeah, and you know, you said you have the 5S, and you can get this update starting tomorrow. It'll show up on iPhones and iPads. It's not for really old models like the 4, but the 5S can get it. And I'd recommend doing a few things before you upgrade. Like, you're going to need to clear out some space. If you're at max on your
storage, I am. And could you help people on how to clear it out? Because I back it up. I think that I delete my pictures. And anytime I am playing Candy Crush or doing something or trying to take a picture, it says storage almost full.
Oh, no.
So what's the best way to do that, Bridget?
It's a pain, but it's good to kind of do it now to give yourself some extra space. Connect your phone to your computer to just transfer your photos off of it. That way, because photos take up so much of the space, you know, and if you keep deleting one here and one there, it doesn't really do much. And backing up on iCloud also, people get a little weird about that these days after the whole, you know, scandal issue with photos being leaked out. But it's also good to actually save a copy to your hard drive too, because iCloud only will back up for the past 30 days, so you don't want to lose anything. Just get them off the phone, and go ahead and delete some unused apps. You know, go through. It's really easy to delete an app just by holding down on the icon. It starts to shake, and there's a little X button, because there's so many apps you probably downloaded but you don't really use. You can always download them again later. You need to make about 3 gigs worth of storage free to upgrade, because that's how it was last year. Now, it doesn't take up 3 gigs of space. It's more like around like 700 megabytes or so, but you're going to need to have some elbow room, so to speak, for it to update the software.
Can I tell you something that Bill is going to be shocked about, because I was completely.
What?
I paid for an upgrade to my iCloud to get some more gigabytes,
mm-hmm.
and I just got an email saying that I am going to, like, they've reduced their rates. What is this, Bridget? I've never heard this before.
Yeah, I forget what the costs are exactly.
It's like $10.95 for, I think, 20 gigs now instead of more for 15
and
gigs.
And that's a one-time purchase?
No,
that's not a
well, you pay for it once a year. It's
oh,
a yearly fee.
All right.
But I couldn't
you're
believe
seeing a lot
that
of competition.
It, is that what
you're
happens?
A lot of yeah, you're seeing a lot of competition in the space. Microsoft has its version. Google Drive always has tons of backup storage. And with Google, they try to get you to use the Google Plus app to automatically back up all your photos for free on Google servers. And Microsoft does the same thing. When you have OneDrive, it'll, when you're on Wi-Fi, automatically back up every photo. But with Apple, they want you to kind of get into their iCloud system, and you can have so much storage for free, but you paid for a little more, as a lot of people do, because it fills up so fast.
Bridget, because of the iCloud scandal of a couple of weeks ago, and for people who don't know, people were able to hack in and get photos of celebrities, some of them not wearing clothing. Because of this, has there been any backlash? Have people been a little more apprehensive about using the iCloud?
I think yes, just by talking to people, seeing what people say online. But it should be noted that iCloud itself, like the system, isn't vulnerable. It's these folks who just had their passwords hacked the same way that any of us can, by accidentally clicking on bad links or having really easy to guess security answers. These hack attacks, they were able to guess the celebrity's email address and some answers to security questions like, what was your dog's name? Yeah. Or where did your parents meet? So make up fake answers for those questions. So in case someone you know can guess that stuff, you know, make it hard to guess. You know, give yourself a little extra protection there. But yeah, people I've noticed don't want to even use iCloud at all these days. It's kind of, it might take some time for Apple to regain some trust on that.
Yeah, but these were celebrities. It's not like Marnie from Villa Park. Anybody really cares, you know, to mm-hmm. see her naked pictures.
No, I'd look.
All right, forget it.
All right. Did you see, this isn't something we were scheduled to talk about, Bridget, but I saw a car, I want to say a Cadillac, but I could be wrong. There's a car now that you don't have to use your hands to steer that'll be out next year. Did you see any of that?
Yeah, there was an announcement that they're working on having these cars come out soon. You're seeing more car companies talk about having these automatic driving cars. I guess they just don't want to have Google be the only one in the space. But
yeah,
I think it definitely depends on a lot of laws to come into effect before you even start to see them on the road. But they like to show that they're innovating.
But have we become that lazy where people are now not wanting to drive because you have to put your hands on the wheel and move it back and forth? Has that become a thing now?
You know, it's certainly fun to talk about, but I think the next steps are having cars talk to the traffic lights and just kind of understand that they need to slow down. But it is a little scary to, like, bring total control to the computer. It's one hand, it's nice to have a safety backup, but then you have to wonder how far does it go before, you know, we rely too much on this. It's interesting to see how it is developed.
I drove, Wendy and I both drove, we were test driving these Jeep Grand Cherokees, and they had the technology not to drive where you weren't steering, but it would parallel park for you, and I was too scared to do it. I'm like, what if it doesn't do it right? Then I'm responsible for
it. I didn't know how to let it do it.
Really? Yeah.
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 It was confusing to me, and I mean, this isn't a new thing. Remember Tommy Lee? He didn't use his hands to drive
right.
that boat with Pamela Anderson.
Very good point. Very true. Yeah.
All right.
Bridget, you're so smart to stay out of those.
I know.
You're so smart.
I try.
All right. Well, she's Bridget Carey. And what else are we going to see on the CNET update for today?
Well, we're also talking about Facebook having an update to its settings. So it's good to go into your Facebook settings today. They made it easier to understand what outside apps are accessing your Facebook data. So you can see all the apps that over time you forgot about giving permission to look into your Facebook page and what permission they have. Can they see how much of your profile? Can they see your friends? And you can easily shut that down. So it's good to go back and kind of have this moment. I saw so many apps in my profile I didn't even realize I gave acceptance to. So it's good to go through that, definitely.
It is good, and it's good to watch the CNET update. That's daily, isn't it?
Yep, Monday through Friday.
How about that? She's the hardworking Bridget Carey from CNET.com. Thank you so much, and have a good week. We'll talk to you next Tech Tuesday.
Always a pleasure. Thanks.
Thank you
so
much.
In a little bit, Judy with the news, and then we'll meet the people who have Rocket Fizz, one of the coolest, if not the coolest shop in all of the area. News is next. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.
I believe it's news time, Mr. Leff.
It is.
That sounds weird. Am I working with your dad?
Yeah, my dad is here to tell you that the news is coming up and that it's sponsored by Ram Restaurants. Here's Judy Pilak. Here is the backstory on what you're about to hear. It's us, Bill and Wendy, on WGN 312-981-7200. A week and a half ago, Terry and I were doing some shopping in the Glen, in Glenview.
Oh, I know where that is.
You've been
That's
in there?
That's near my in-laws, yeah.
It's really nice there. There's a store.
You've what?
Never seen you there.
You've never seen
looked.
Wendy in there.
You didn't know what I looked like.
We walk into a store called Rocket Fizz. I have no idea what it is. All I know is the name sounds cool. So we walk in, and then...
And you met me.
I meet Robert, and I say to Robert, I'm in heaven. This is the kind of store I've always dreamt about but didn't think existed, and now it's here.
It does. How exciting is that, right?
Oh, well, let's explain what Rocket Fizz is.
Yeah, tell me.
Rocket Fizz
And let's also introduce your daughter.
Oh, this is my daughter, Dina.
Right.
So I got a
co-proprietor of Rocket
Fizz.
She's
like the boss. You were there when she yelled
at me. She ran everything.
Yeah, everything. And
I have to keep him in line.
Good. You're doing that's
what
a full-time
behind
job.
Behind every man is a successful woman, or behind every successful man is a woman, or whatever.
That would be my wife, listening. Hi, honey. Mm. It is you.
Well, Dina's there to help when your wife's not around.
Right.
Besides my mom,
my
he also has
Amber.
Two other daughters that help him stay in line.
It's a family business.
So.
It is.
Because we're loud, obnoxious Italians. So
it's a mom and pop shop, and I mean that in every sense of the term.
What, buy it, because no pun, but I'm bummed. Right?
Explain what we get at Rocket Fizz.
We are a franchise based out of California. We have well over 500 different soda pops.
500.
We, as a franchise, we make over 100 unique flavors that belong to us. They're made in our factories in California. And we probably carry anywhere from 4,000 to 5,000 different types of candies. Retro candy, hard to find.
No wonder Bill was in heaven when he was in this place.
At some point, you said to me, we closed up an hour ago. You have to leave.
I have a cot. I said, we got on the back.
I know.
I'm up in a cot. I thought we can do some cleaning. You know. So, and then we have the hard to find, or we thought they were out of production candies type of thing. You know.
Give us an example of one or two of those. What are some candies that people have been looking for? You think they're gone, but you have them at Rocket Fizz.
We have Chuckles. Which were
the fruit chews.
They were the little, actually,
they're little square, sugar-coated.
On it.
Yep.
We have.
But they all taste the same, don't they? Or the black chuckle tastes like licorice.
The black chuckle has a licorice-y flavor. Yeah.
But the rest kind of all taste alike, or no?
Well, because they're packaged together, so it's just the flavor blends.
Yep.
I'm guessing. And then we have Chunky.
Wait, Freshen Up Gum?
Freshen Up Gum. Remember that gum with the stuff in the center?
We had a terrible nickname for that.
Have you ever watched
that
commercial back in the 80s?
Oh, he does too. Don't worry.
Oh, okay.
He told me.
Don't say it on the air.
I cannot say that.
All right. Well, everybody's smiling, so everybody knows that terrible nickname.
You people are perverts. I'm in a room with a lot of perverts.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, so Freshen Up Gum. Wait, there was one other thing. The Chunky bar?
Chunkies, which is the little chocolate squares.
Pecans and raisins.
Shaped like a geometric shape, right?
Like a pyramid that you bit the top off.
Yeah. They still have, you have
they
those.
Still have them. How about Zots?
Oh my God, the fizzies.
The fizzy Zots.
I'm drooling and I'm excited.
That's what happens.
Yeah, wow.
We got fruit stripe gum.
Oh, with
Yipes
the zebra.
Stripes.
Zebra.
Right, that's the phrase.
I just said that last week, remember?
I know.
Yipes stripes. Yeah, man,
and I want to tell people, if people have not been to Rocket Fizz, here's what you get when you walk in. You see all these kids that are bowled over by all the colors and flavors, and then you also see adults who are taking this trip down memory lane going, I can't believe that they still make this and I can buy it.
The stories we hear are phenomenal. I've had grandparents walking in and saw a box of double bubble bubble gum, and she's like, I look at that. I smelled it just now, and I felt like I was 12 all over again.
Is it? Do you mean hubba bubba bubble gum?
No, double bubble.
No, it's different.
Double bubble.
Yeah. Double bubble. Yeah.
Yeah.
I only had
this.
A singular bubble.
Well,
you got ripped off.
One in the inside.
You got to talk to your attorneys, Wendy. You got ripped off.
That's right. Lawsuit. You know.
Robert, here's a story I've not shared with you. 2 weeks ago, before I came into the store, my wife and I went out to dinner the night before, and I was telling her about a Ben Franklin. We were in Payless, and I said,
okay.
There used to be a Ben Franklin right there, and we'd walk in, and they had this wall of candy, and my brother. And I would go nuts. When I met you, I said, why did you open the store, and what did you say?
Reason. Ben Franklin, right? Every day during the summer, my mom would just give me a pocket full of change.
Yeah.
And that I would ride my little BMX bike, BMX bike of all things,
I'd like to see you ride that now.
Yeah, that would be funny. Maybe after the show.
A small version of something. But then we, I would ride down the Ben Franklin or Five and Dime, which didn't make any sense. Nothing was five or dime.
Right.
When I don't know what happened.
No, false advertising. Well,
yeah, there's another lawsuit.
Mm-hmm.
And I would stand enthralled with the candy and just sit there like, I think, a zombie, just like drooling and everything at the candy. And there was also a locally owned pharmacy, a kitty corner from us.
Yeah. So
with a soda fountain?
Not so much, just another big wall of candy. And I would just walk back and forth on my bike and eventually just load my pockets up and ride about four blocks home and sit on my front porch
And every kid who has that memory, that's like one of the happiest times of your life.
Amazing.
And do you remember we used to get it in the small lunch bag? It was a small paper bag.
Right.
And just hearing the crinkle of that. Boy, I'm reminiscing now.
Amazing?
I mean, it's really taking me back to being a kid.
But now what you guys have done is you've taken that concept of a candy shelf or a candy section, and you've made this entire store.
Entire store. Almost 2,000 square feet of just nostalgia. We got
enormous.
Tin signs, concert posters, gag gifts.
Yep.
You know,
magnets,
masks for like Halloween, and just it's awesome.
I need to go.
You need to come.
You've brought a bunch of candy for us to sample, and you've brought some various soda pop flavors.
Soda pops.
Let's do this. We'll take a quick look at traffic, and then we'll talk more to Robert and Dina from Rocket Fizz in Glenview. It's in the Glen. It's an amazing shop.
And jump in with questions or comments about candy that you loved when you were growing up, and Robert can tell us if you have it there. 312-981-7200.
The traffic is sponsored by Midwestern University's Dental Institute. Here is Leslie. Robert and Dina Brusher are here. They've got an incredible store, Rocket Fizz. It's in the Glen in Glenview. What's the website, Robert? Where can they find you online?
We don't have one ourselves, but it is rocketfizz.com is the corporate website.
What about a phone number? Is there a number they can call?
It's 224-661-3142. We do have a Facebook, Instagram, and a Twitter account.
Good. Very, very good. You've brought up an incredible array of old-time candy for Wendy and I to enjoy. Including bacon-flavored lollipops, which I've never seen before.
That's your man bait.
It works.
Okay.
They should make bacon perfume for women to wear.
We actually have bacon body wash. So
Seriously.
All right. So.
We also have like wasabi toothpaste, too.
Wasabi
like
toothpaste.
Stuff. Yeah.
I do like wasabi very much.
I don't know if that would be a good thing.
Do us a favor. You've brought all these different soda pops up. Clear this up. Wendy and I were having a debate earlier. Is it soda? Is it pop? Is it soda pop? What is the correct terminology?
Well, in my family, it's a constant debate. Mm-hmm. Kind of like who takes the trash out? Mm-hmm. What do we call it? Because my wife's from the South, and she calls it Coke. And I'm like, well, you can't call everything Coke.
We called everything Coke growing up, so
all
if
flavors.
I had to pick one, it would be soda. I have never in my life said pop.
For me, it's pop. It's always been pop.
I call it soda. Me and my sister both
too.
Say soda.
What do you?
We've always said pop. I've heard people, and I don't remember, I think this is an East Coast thing, they'll say tonic when
tonic?
They mean soda or pop.
What?
I don't understand why they'd say that.
No, that's for their vodka.
Oh, is that what it is?
We don't sell that.
All right.
Yeah, we tried that.
Over 500 different kinds of soda pops there at Rocket Fizz.
Yes.
What is the most popular? What is the least popular?
Of the brands that we make, everybody wants to try bacon soda pop.
Really?
What's wrong with people? If you want bacon, eat a piece of bacon. I would say my guess would be root beer is probably the most popular flavor, though, is it?
But the good thing is when it comes to bacon, if you're a vegan
or
whatever and you want a hankering for bacon, just drink the soda. Same thing with if you are lactose intolerant like myself.
Yeah.
We have ranch flavored soda as
ranch.
Well. So if
ranch.
You want some ranch dressing, chug a soda, I guess.
Oh, my God.
Well,
we
how many
bring
times...
that, though, so you know.
Oh, thank you for not bringing it. How many times have you enjoyed ranch dressing and said, if only this were carbonated, it would be perfect?
Well, I was told by the two guys that started this that we could go out to dinner and actually make soda for everything on our plates.
You could.
That's how they got some of these ideas.
Well, one of the flavors you brought up is it's corn-flavored.
Yeah,
but...
it's a sweet corn.
We have to give some to Orion. We should leave some for Orion Samuelson.
We'll make a way for that to happen.
Sweet corn.
And you've said, Robert, that this tastes more like butter, really, than it does corn, right?
I tell you what, it smells like corn.
Oh.
And it has a little taste, but it's a buttery, very nice buttery taste.
I am intrigued.
Like,
well,
that?
No, but I'm completely intrigued by it. Who wouldn't want to try it?
Everyone wants to try
it. Everybody wants. Yeah.
Well, you set us up with peanut butter and chocolate flavored soda pop.
How was that, by the way?
I would have liked a little bit more peanut butter flavor. Okay. The chocolate was a little more dominant.
Was that like a KO or something, which, you know?
No, because KO's not carbonated.
Oh,
right. These are all carbonated.
These are all carbonated.
What was the chocolate, that fudge cream soda, you know, that Canfields used to make it? Did it taste like that?
Yeah, it had that kind of a flavor to it. Yeah, yeah. Not disappointing. I just liked a little more peanut butter.
I would.
And root beer-wise, you had an entire cooler, probably 50 different kinds?
We got about 50 different flavors of root beer, birch beer, and sarsaparilla.
What is birch beer?
Birch beer is...
That's East Coast, right?
Yeah. Well, it's a little mintier taste of a root beer.
Yeah.
Sarsaparilla. Everybody knows what that is.
From the Old West.
Actually, sarsaparilla is a nice, stronger root beer taste.
And that's more from the West, right? Like a Colorado,
yeah, from
California.
The cowboy days,
Yeah.
We have a couple of questions from listeners. Just snaps and or flying saucers. Do you have those at your...
We have snaps, and normally we do have flying saucers, but they fly off our shelf.
This is the busy season.
I'm just joking.
The fall is always the busiest time of the year for the flying saucer candies.
That's because it's back to religious ed and CCD, and we used to always pretend it was communion.
Right,
I'm sorry, God.
Necco wafers, too, were the best practice communion.
And we had those also, Necco wafers. Remember there was a rumor that you put those in the tow booths?
Steve Dahl, Stephen Gary started that, and it did work.
Yeah, for a little while.
And actually, you know, they don't taste very good, so that would be the only place to use them.
Yeah.
Do us a favor. Just set Wendy up with a flavor that you want her to try. Let's just, the more outrageous, the better. Whatever you want to give her.
Okay.
And I want to point out really quick, we had Wink Martindale on our show a couple of months ago. You have a soda pop that is made by Wink Martindale, or has his face on it anyway.
Right. We have a couple of celebrities that endorse sodas with us. Wink is one of them.
You got to have a Bill Left soda.
I wanted Bill. What flavor would you like, Bill?
Taste like a ping pong ball.
Oh, nice.
Thank you. Nice. Yes. You get a lot of people coming in asking if there's any pop that tastes like ping pong balls.
Well, they do, yeah.
Good. Well, that problem will be alleviated.
You got the Bill here?
Thank you, Steve.
All right, so what is this crazy flavor we're trying?
Well, you got to tell me. You have to identify it and let me know what
you
think.
Like a fine wine, the aroma first.
It smells cinnamony.
Okay.
I'm getting, is it cinnamon?
It's like Jeopardy.
There's something burnt in it. There's like an undercurrent.
A red hot.
Is that, no, it's not that. Is it that deep?
It is.
What is it?
Pumpkin pie soda.
That's not bad.
Now, keep in mind, when everything is a lot colder, that flavors come out
better.
So.
But that does have a pretty rich flavor to it.
Bill and I are probably the only two people who don't like pumpkin-flavored anything, and yet this isn't bad.
No, this is good.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, I like it. I like it.
I smell the clove in it now that you...
The nutmeg, cinnamon.
It's in there.
Yeah, it's in there.
There's a line of soda pops that have dictators on them, and some of them are very, very bad men.
All are very bad men, aren't they?
Why do these men have their own brand of soda?
Because it's funny.
Is that what it is? I guess so.
Who's on there?
We have one that's called See You Later.
And whose picture is on that?
Osama bin Laden.
Osama bin Laden is being used to hawk the soda.
And the Navy SEALs took him down.
See You Later.
Right.
So funny.
And I've got one called Nuclear Orange Bomb. And who's on that one?
Okay, who's that? He was at our store.
Is it Kim Jong-il?
Yeah, I think it's Kim Jong-il,
right?
We have a Stalinade, which is...
Now, if Kim Jong-il comes into the shop and
he gets a free soda.
You'll give him a free one?
Soda.
All right, that'll be fine.
That's what we like to do.
What does Wink Martindale taste like? I'm intrigued by that.
We can open up Wink Martindale.
I always wanted to taste Wink Martindale.
Well, your dreams come true then. This is perfect.
Phil, I can see why you loved being in this store. This is in the Glen in Glenview.
I could spend all day there.
The old Naval Air Force.
It's fantastic. Yeah. All right, here. This is some Wink Martindale. Flavor is this? It's not Wink flavored.
No,
it doesn't taste
three
like
flavors. It is orange, passion fruit, and guava.
Wow.
What is guava?
That is a very tasty Wink Martindale.
Good. Yep. That's very good. Yeah.
Wink's a good guy.
I would use this more as an after dinner liqueur.
Because
we don't have much culture at my house.
What about the marathon bar? Do you have
those? Actually, they stopped making those. Now they're called Curly Whirlies.
Oh, from England.
From England.
Is right. That, they were
identical,
so good.
Identical to the Marathon.
John
bar.
Wayne's son, Patrick Wayne, was...
He was Marathon John.
Yes.
Yeah.
And was it Captain Carl who tried to get the Marathon bar all
Quick
the time?
Quick Claude.
Oh, sorry.
It was Quick Claude.
What am I thinking of?
That's all right.
And what about you, Robert Brusha and his daughter Dina's here. You brought up the violets.
Oh, yeah, the violet... These are
old
violet.
Gum.
Oh, well, these are mint.
It's a mint, but it tastes like soap.
We actually carry the violet gum also.
And I really think that
like
this
soap,
was something that alcoholics used to put in their mouth. So I'm serious. Mm-hmm. I had a neighbor who drank a lot, and he always smelled like these violets because it would cover up the alcohol.
And most people's grandmothers had them in their purses.
Right.
Yeah. Then the whole purse smelled like it. Someone else wants to know, along the lines of that violet, Sen-Sen. That was
mint.
They were licorice-y. They were. That was a little red and gold pouch.
That's in a Billy Joel song. A mint called Sen-Sen. There's a lyric like that in one of his songs.
Well, it's not. It wasn't a mint. That's the name of the candy.
No, it's a mint. It's like because there's like a guy in a tuxedo on the.
Get
on
Billy
the
Joel on the line.
We do have to speak to Billy Joel.
Talk to him real quick.
All right, he'll come on in a moment.
It was licorice-y. It was tiny and it was powder covered.
And it's not a mint.
I know that because I tried to.
The
mask
powder.
The smell of smoke sometimes if I, came home and had a
Sinner.
Cigarette.
See, this is what it looks
Sinner.
Like.
Sorry you have to
what?
See this.
These are what?
Yeah, that's it. That's Sen-Sen. I think that's a mint.
Fries are done.
Oh.
Do you have French fry flavored soda?
No. That we could let's make it.
All right.
That's the future.
That's Big Mac and French fry.
Robert, Dina, an honor to have you guys up in studio. Rocket Fizz is the coolest shop in all of Chicago. You got to go check it out for yourself. It's
follow
in the
Glen. Follow them on Facebook and
or follow
Twitter.
Follow me on my way home because I'm going there right after the show.
Well, I thought we're hanging out there today. Right. You and I, right?
That's so cool. Again, the store is called Rocket Fizz, and it's amazing. Thank you, guys.
Okay,
so
thanks
much
for having us. We appreciate
up.
It. Thank you very, very much.
Awesome. And stay tuned because we've got news coming up, and sometime soon, a soda pop named Bill Leff.
Ping pong ball flavored pop.
Ball.
Thanks, you guys.
Thank you.
All Neil Sedaka, all the time. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. How quickly would we go out of business if we only played Neil Sedaka songs?
Quiet, I'm listening.
All right.
I love the way he harmonized with himself.
Yes.
It's amazing what multi-track studios
yes.
can do.
Agreed.
All right, we're going to talk breakups, but I got to clarify this Sen-Sen stuff.
Oh, yeah. Please.
All right, Sen-Sens are licorice, and Billy Joel did a song with Sen-Sen mints in the lyrics.
I want to say the song is Keeping the Faith by Billy Joel, where there's a lyric where he's reminiscing about his childhood, and he's singing, and then he goes, and a mint called Sen-Sen. And I always thought it was a mint, because in our white hen by my house, the Sen-Sen was in with the mints.
Well, so you mean a mint like a cert kind of thing?
Yeah, kind of, yeah.
I guess technically it's
elements.
They're saying it's a breath perfume.
Oh, but it was in like a rectangular form, not a perfume. Like you didn't use an atomizer apply.
Well, no, it was
Sen-Sen.
It's the original breath freshener.
Yeah.
They are small hard pieces with a licorice flavor. Sen-Sen was developed in the late 1800s by T.B. Dunn and Company perfume dealers in Rochester, New York. According to Dunn's history, a plant supervisor by the name of Kirshner. Not Don Kirshner?
No. From Don Kirshner's rock concert?
Developed a formula for an effective and refreshing breath perfume. In keeping with its perfumery roots, it was on the market list for many years as a cosmetic.
Oh.
Sen-Sen was to the 19th century what breath mints are to our time.
So it's been around since the 19th century.
Mm-hmm.
That's a long time.
Mints, whatever.
But wouldn't you, like, licorice, to me, would cancel out any mint flavor or aroma. Licorice is too harsh. It would ruin the peppermint to the wintergreen, wouldn't it?
I'm not sure. Peppergreen, whatever.
Peppergreen. That's not a bad idea.
That's what I like on my pizza.
Yeah, some peppergreen.
I think a mint could be cinnamon flavored, licorice flavored. I think
that's how
it's used. A mint meaning a breath freshener.
Oh, all right.
And Billy Joel, it would have taken too long to say a breath perfume named Sen-Sen.
Right. The song would have been over. All right, that's a good point.
That's my only thought.
All right.
Breaking up is hard to do. We'll find out about it. But right now, we're hooking up with Leslie Kiley. Since 1910, this company, formerly known as Corn Products International, was one of the first to establish a manufacturing facility in Bedford Park. Back then, Bedford Park was considered an ideal location to do business due to the availability of labor, raw materials, and transportation. Today, with over $6 billion in annual sales, Ingredion is a global company proud to still be operating in Bedford Park. So if you want your business to stay profitable, relocate your business to the village of Bedford Park. It's home of that huge water supply, located right outside the city on the southwest side and just minutes away from Midway Airport. Plus, all of Bedford Park is an enterprise zone, and there are multiple TIF districts within the village, plus additional tax incentives are available if your project qualifies. Bedford Park also offers abundant resources, including that huge water supply. For more information and a list of available properties, call Marilyn at 708-496-0346. That's 708-496-0346, or visit their website at villageofbedfordpark.com.
Weeknights, WGN-TV Evening News will be starting at 4 o'clock. For late-breaking news, watch Chicago's very own WGN-TV Evening News. Again, it starts at 4, it ends at 6. It's on weeknights. That's Taylor Swift. That's what that is.
She's pretty cute.
Very cute.
I know you wouldn't break up with her.
No.
If you weren't married and you were dating her.
Right. If all
those
things.
Very hypothetical.
Right. That is the most hypothetical situation. But then when you do break up with her, she writes a song about you just moments later.
So maybe you would break up with her.
Maybe. You could get a song.
You could get a song and soda named after you.
That would be a good day.
It would.
That would be a great day.
All right. I found this on HuffPo somewhere. Huffington Post. That's what the kids call it. HuffPo. Mm-hmm. Some of the most outrageous breakup notes ever. Somebody sent a pizza, and then on the top of the box, it says, "I'm breaking up with you."
That's as cold can be.
But on a hot pizza, you know what? I would say that's a good consolation
no,
prize.
No, you wouldn't.
I would.
If a guy broke up with you, and that's how you were informed that you were no longer dating him.
I'd go, oh, pizza.
All right. I think the point that I need to make during any or all of these is this. I was always under the impression that a breakup of any meaningful relationship needed to be done in person, that you don't want to do it on a pizza box. I told you earlier, my daughter's, most of her friends, when they break up, it's almost always done by text.
Is that really true?
Come on, yeah. That's terrible.
But I'll bet you that's how it begins, because
maybe
texting and Facebook has made it so easy to not communicate.
I know.
I'm a victim of this. I've done this before.
What happened?
Jasmine, you have dumped a guy via text?
Yeah, I feel bad about it now, the way you guys said it, but I just...
You don't seem like it. You seem to be taking it very well.
I feel really bad about it now. Maybe I should have said it in person, but I thought it would be better to break up with them over the internet, I guess, because I didn't want to see their reaction.
Oh. Well, yeah, but, I mean, that's part of the problem. That's why when you ask someone out, when we were growing up, when dinosaurs roamed the planet,
right.
Oh my God.
You would hold on very tightly to a pterodactyl and you would fly over to the girl's house. This is a long time ago.
No, but it made you think twice then about asking someone out.
Right.
You had to like take it seriously.
Right.
I think these young kids today,
punks,
Billy,
yeah.
the young punks, they just ask someone out and it's like it's not really even going out. You
no.
just hang out.
I know.
So then when you break, was this serious? Was this a serious relationship?
Not really, no.
See?
How long dating into this did this breakup happen?
Maybe like 3 weeks.
That's still, I know,
but
that's
long. That's a long time in our time.
Oh,
you
it
know
is
that.
Right.
Yeah.
It is.
I guess these kids today, instant.
But as hard as it, because I have been on both ends of a breakup. I have been broken up with. I have broken up with people. And anytime I was on either end of those, the next couple of days or sometimes weeks, you're kind of miserable. I'd be way more miserable if it came on a text message or
you
one
were
of,
not as miserable if you did the breaking up. And
no,
if you,
I still was.
I don't believe you.
Yeah,
because don't
I'm,
you don't you think the worst thing is to have your friend, your boyfriend or girlfriend's friend
tell that,
you?
Yeah.
Did that
yeah,
happen
least,
to you?
No, of course not.
But I bet kids do that now.
Right. And a lot of people did it during my time. I mean, at least the text is just to you, hopefully, and it's kind of personal.
I think the text is weak.
Is it?
It's really weak.
Why?
And Jordan's a young man.
I know he is.
So good for you. You have morals.
Yeah, you know what? I think that if, because the thing is, if you're, If it's only a couple dates, I could understand because you haven't really established anything.
But then you're not going out. Then it's not really breaking
it's
up.
It's not really. It's more just like the I don't want to go out again text, which is, I mean, that's okay, I think, after a couple dates.
Right.
But if it's, you know, if you've been dating like a month or something like that, I think you owe a phone call. A quick phone call.
Not even a phone call.
I think
call.
You know you owe it in person.
In person.
See,
not
I think
even a phone
the
call.
In person, you never know what could happen there.
There could be a stabbing.
Well, no, of course you don't know what can happen. But that's interpersonal relationships.
Right. Yeah, no, I listen, I think that the in-person would be the best way to do it.
I think
but
just
I
do it over the air.
For the phone call. I mean, I remember like a couple of years ago, I went out with this girl for a month or so, and she called me, and she was very nice about it, and I actually gave her credit for it. I was like, all right. I mean, I thought that was a nice way to handle
it. It was.
Yeah. I mean, even though she dumped...
You must not have liked her.
I mean, I would say it was kind of... It was fine. It was good. But, I mean, it, you know, it was okay. But the point was at least she called instead of, hey, I'm... Or, like, the no response.
Right.
Is
that's
the
worst. The worst, right? Being totally ignored.
Right.
That's the worst.
I had that.
I will not be ignored.
I've done
that
this
movie.
Too.
That was Glenn Close.
Yeah, or Sammy Hagar. They looked the same at that time.
Yeah.
Yes, Jasmine?
I've done this too. Just
what, calling
ignore.
Someone?
No,
oh, just ignore?
Ignore.
You're
that's
a terrible,
terrible
girlfriend.
Person. I really am a bad person.
That's awful.
Well, you're a good producer, but a bad girlfriend.
I don't think I've ever, every breakup I had ever had, and it's now been
how many?
A long time. Well, there's been none over the last almost 30 years.
Well, I know.
Thankfully. But prior to that, there was a series of them. I think everyone was
you
in person.
You had.
Yeah. Well... I don't know.
I probably had four.
Cat, that's all?
Yeah.
In your whole dating career, four breakups.
Probably, maybe five.
Are you still dating some of them?
No.
Okay, good. Four or five over a
I'm
several...
pretty surprised at that too, Wendy.
That's a low number.
Oh, pretty low. Some of them weren't
some of them
necessarily
just...
going steady.
Did some of them just kind of disappear?
No.
Where'd they end up?
But I mean, maybe they weren't, you know, full-blown relationships.
All right.
If they said, do you want to go out? And you said yes, then you were dating.
That's
no, that's
true.
Not true.
That's true?
It's true when you were younger. It's
that is
major.
True.
Yeah.
That wasn't my standard.
Oh, all right.
Well, no wonder you didn't have a lot of boyfriends.
Well,
see how
that's
easy
a
we
really
were? We
low
yes.
number of breakups.
But I mean, I wasn't in committed relationships with that many people.
But even like if I was in one of those just like kind of quick two or three or four dates and out, I would still there was still a moment where we would get together and I'd say, look, I don't know if this has a future or I've been drafted. Sometimes I'd pull that
okay.
out.
Okay, so at least you did it in person.
I have to be in Bulgaria on Wednesday. I don't know how it happened.
At least you met them in person
always.
And didn't just text that.
Never.
Although we didn't have texting
there was
back
no
then.
If I said, I'll send you a text, she would have said, what?
And didn't you, wouldn't you just love to have said, I just don't like you anymore.
Yeah, that would have been great. I found somebody
I
way better
yeah.
than you.
You know what? If I wasn't in a relationship right now, I would have a great real excuse. I've had no cell phone the last
time. Oh, days. That's a great excuse.
Why?
But
do you
I,
lose
I
it?
I really haven't. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a really good excuse that a girl wants to hear, Jordan.
But I mean, like, that would be a reason that I didn't get back to them, but that
and
would
no
be
one would
true.
Believe it.
They would never believe
it.
It
would be temporary. You
what?
Couldn't say that forever.
You lost it in Vegas?
I may have gotten into a pool with my phone in my back pocket.
Oh, God. Man. Guys are just really, they can't do anything by themselves.
I'm a total idiot, and I normally am so careful about it, and I knew when I brought it, I was like, this is going to be a mistake. And I thought, no, I'm going to watch out. And then, of course, 20 minutes after I was in the pool, I realized that my phone was still in my
God.
Back pocket.
Glub, glub, yeah. glub. That's it. All right, we have to take a break. We'll continue this. If you want to weigh in on this, 312-981-7200. You can also text us at that very number, 312-981-7200.
He can't.
That's funny. Oh, that's underwater. Some of the worst breakups, the most outrageous breakup notes, we have some to share with you and news coming up next here on 720 WGN.
It's occurring to us that there are a lot of breakup songs. Did you just notice that, too? We've got some ugly stories on the line, Wendy. We're talking about the strangest ways that people have been broken up with.
Or broke up with someone.
Or broke up with somebody. None of them pleasant.
And we also have to get to the Greg Kinn Band, the breakup song.
Yeah.
Ow.
That's a pretty song.
Boy, that'd be a bad breakup note, too, if that's all you wrote. How do you spell?
I don't think you can.
Who do you want to talk to first, Bill?
Any of them.
Take your pick.
All of them. Put them all on at the same time.
How about Randy?
All right.
Hey, Randy, it's Bill and Wendy. What's going on?
Hi. Listen, it's just not the young people. I'm 48, and my ex-girlfriend was 46, and she broke up with me through texting in February. And, two and a half years, it's a long time. And I just want to say it's left a lot of unresolved questions, a lot of anger, a lot of hurt, and I'm still trying to get over it. What makes it even more difficult is that, she's less than a mile away, it's just a bad, bad situation. And, when the kids are involved, because I'm divorced and she's divorced, you got the commingling of the families. I think that you would owe a lot more than just texting, goodbye. Sure. And
shame on her, Randy. That's all I have to say.
I don't know if you want to divulge all of it, but how specific was the breakup, by the way, the text?
It was pretty specific. It was, let's end it before it gets ugly. And that was it. And then, the next day I get another text from her. Are you okay? And that was it. The last time I've actually seen her, was a couple of months ago by accident with my kids, and it was kind of uncomfortable. It was a half hello, and then we just parted. It was like less than 5 seconds. But
you didn't know this was coming, Randy. This came completely out of nowhere.
I did actually, but I was expecting. I was hoping that we would break up a lot more amicably and a lot more adult. But the truth is. You'd think that you'd owe more to each other after 2.5 years, especially with the commingling of the families and the kids, and that's a piece of your life, a huge chunk of your life that you'll never get back. And I'm trying to figure. I'm really torn as far as do I have happy memories or do I have really sad memories on just the way we broke up.
How long ago was this, Randy?
It was in February. It was, and actually, I remember the date. It was February 9th, and it happened at a bar when I was with my best friend. I believe it was like on a Tuesday night or whatever. And I just texted her. I said, gee, we hardly talk anymore. And then at that point, the text came in from her that just said, I want to end this before it gets ugly. Good luck. Goodbye. And that was pretty much it.
Well, obviously you haven't gotten over it because, it's still bugging you.
Jolting.
And she owes you some kind of explanation.
I don't think, I don't think I'm going to get it. And to be quite honest with you, I believe in my heart that this is the way she's broken up with other people too. And you know what? Something like this after, again, I keep saying it, 2.5 years, I honestly believe that she thinks that it was okay and it is okay, and I think that this is how she's going to do it again with
Well,
other
good
people.
Riddance. Glad she's out of your life, but it doesn't really make it any easier. I understand that.
Randy, sorry about this.
Well, hang in there.
So am I. Thank you very much. I just wanted to share that with you and just let you know. It isn't just the young people. It's the older generation as well.
It's
and
just
I think
rude people.
Yeah, and I think a lot of it is just the texting, the mass communication with the internet and everything else. But it's not okay. It's not okay to do something like this.
So sorry, Randy.
I hope things get better, Randy. I really do.
Oh, man.
The weirdest part of that is she still sent him a text the next day saying, are you okay? Which is, a very nice gesture.
No, it isn't. She just wanted to make herself feel better. Are you okay? That's what she was trying to do.
That could be it.
I know. Oops, I just realized I'm kind of that type of woman.
Well, we'll erase that part.
All right.
Let's do this. Some traffic and then more of your calls about ugly breakups. What happened in your situation? Was it as bad as the one you've heard? 312-981-7200 is the phone and text line.
Are you drunk on soda?
I've had two bottles of soda pop.
You're slurring words.
I know.
All of a sudden, you got like heavy eyes.
I'm gonna lay down.
You look like Bing Crosby, and you sound like him.
All right, it's sad the way people are breaking up. It's not in person like they used to back in the Mesozoic era when we were kids. Now, They're doing it on pizza boxes. They're doing it by way of text.
And billboards. I have some fascinating ones to share with you, but we'll open it up to the listeners first at 312-981-7200.
All right, let's start out with Kathy. Kathy, you're on with us on WGN. How are you?
Hi, Billy. How are you?
Couldn't be better. Did you?
Okay, I remember you're talking about breakups.
Yes.
I went to the senior prom with Hank, and we had been going together for a year. And he took me to the prom, yeah. And the next day I didn't hear from him. And so I called him, and he said, oh, I think we're going to break up. I shed a tear for about 5 seconds because your mother called me and said, can you babysit for Billy? And I said, oh, great, I can make $2. so I made $2 on the day that Hank, the bum, broke up with me when I was 17. Thanks to your mom, she rescued me with $2.
Little backstory, Kathy was my babysitter back when
I was a little
baby.
I thought there was something weird when she said, hi, Billy. Kathy,
people are very friendly,
right?
Toward me.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, he's always been Billy and Adam. Yes, he's always been Billy.
That's my brother. He gets out in 6 more years.
I thought it was your alter ego.
No, he gets out soon.
Stop
for good behavior. Well, boy, around prom time, that's terrible.
The day after the prom.
Oh.
But see, then...
And your mother and father were at our prom.
Oh, they were?
Chaperones?
Yes, they were at our prom, and because they were like chaperones, and they were big deals.
Yeah.
You know, back then when,
my
you know,
parents
when
were famous prom chaperones in the
well,
60s.
They were good dancers like Ginger Rogers. Well, your mom was a dancer.
My mom was a
dancer. Your dad was really not?
No.
Yeah, she was fabulous. She directed our senior play,
oh,
and
yeah.
That's why she came. But, you know, we went to an all-girls high school.
This is Mount Assisi, right?
We went to Mount Assisi, and yes, and we were, we had to be chaperoned. We were all-girls high school.
Crazy
on
girls.
The loop that night.
Yep.
Kathy, did Bill wet his bed?
No.
Not back then. I do now.
No. He was a great little boy.
Yep,
oh,
an angel.
He still is.
An angel.
I don't
Thank
know
you, Kathy.
That.
Sorry about this breakup. If I see Hank, I will not be kind to him.
You know him?
No, I don't know him.
All right, what about, I think Mary has a call, too. She wants to jump in on this.
Mary has a little call.
Mary has a... Hi, Mary, how are you?
I'm good, how are you?
Do you have a breakup story?
Yes, and it's, you know, we say how kids use text this, you know, mom, do it face-to-face now. Okay, this story is from about my daughter, 20 years ago, and she was a sophomore in high school, and she was going with a senior from another school, and he was a crier. He cried every time they went to a movie. He cried when he saw puppies, rainbows,
wow.
Everything.
That's emotional.
So, yeah. So she sent him a letter because her school counselor told her that was what she should do. And to avoid the big scene. So he gets this letter and drives right over to our house, but she wasn't home. But he pulled up out front, and he was so upset, he blew his tire up on our curb.
Ah.
And I pulled up, and he's there changing the tire and crying and crying. And he hands me this letter, and he says, what is this? She broke up. And I said, I'm not going to read that. No, thanks. But he was there for like 15 minutes, and then he had to come in and wash his hands. And then, you know, he had to hug the dog and say how much he was going to miss the dog.
Wow. Oh,
this did not go well. All because of the tire.
That's an emotional kid. All that crying. Is it John Boehner? Did he end up to be John Boehner?
No. And he said as he went out the door, you know, with tears running down her face, tell her she's the only girl I'll ever love.
Oh, that's
like,
heartbreaking.
Oh, no, this is, oh, jeez. And she got home, and I said, I'm going to kill you. Why did I get stuck with this? And she said, well, I sent him that letter. I said, why didn't you ask me what to do instead of your school counselor? And she said, but you liked him. You would have told me not to break up with him.
Well, maybe.
And good point.
Yeah. Oh, no, I said to her, never go with someone, keep going with someone because I like them, and don't ever break up with someone because I don't. It's your life.
That
you
is
know?
Solid advice, Mary.
Yeah, I thought so, but oh man.
Yep.
It was a sad afternoon.
It gets emotional. It does. Thank you so much.
Thank you for sharing that, Mary. It's funny. Her daughter breaks up with the guy via letter, and then she has to deal with his problems.
Yep.
That is, I can't hang up on anybody. I can't break
up with
anyone.
Because all you do is care about people. You can't quit people.
I have some things here, too. Somebody took out a billboard, and it says, "Hi, Stephen. Do I have your attention now? I know all about her, you dirty, sneaky, immoral, unfaithful, poorly endowed slime ball. Everything's caught on tape. Your soon-to-be ex-wife, Emily. P.S. I paid for this billboard from our joint bank account."
Oh, no.
That's great.
What made her not put his last name? If you were going to spend that kind of money and have people see it, wouldn't you want him?
Oh, come on.
I'd put his last name on there,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, but then they know who you are.
All right. There's
Here's
that.
Another billboard. Michael, GPS tracker, $250. Nikon camera with zoom lens, $1,600. Catching my lying husband and buying this billboard with our investment account, priceless. Tell Jessica you're moving in. Jennifer.
Ooh, also painful.
Good?
Yes.
And here's how a guy breaks up with people. I mean, I'm not slamming you or anything, but here's a little letter that says, "Dear Janet, I think we should break up. I would tell you why, but I am having a tough time describing my feelings, so I drew a picture of me riding a giraffe instead."
And then he did. Well, how old of a person was that? Like a four-year-old?
No, I think it was a...
That should be part of every breakup, is you, as you're breaking up with the person, you should show them a picture you've drawn of yourself riding a giraffe. That softens the moment, doesn't it?
A little bit.
Yeah.
This is so me. When I leave notes for the boys at home,
Post-it notes?
Yes. Yeah. I have like a series of them.
Yeah.
I should take a picture of, I mean, they've saved them to make fun of me.
Oh,
there's
yeah.
like 20 on the inside of a cabinet.
Yeah.
But this guy does, "Brenda, this isn't working. You know it. I know it. I moved out. Goodbye, Mark." And then there's a second one that says, "P.S. I took the dog. He hates you."
Oh. All on Post-it notes.
I know. And then...
these are cracking me up. I'm sorry.
I know, but some of these are really good.
They're all... Every one of these is sad, though, because it's some relationship that at some point these two people thought, well, this could work forever. And then you're breaking it up these ways, though?
This one, you know how people put like paint on their car window when the car's for sale, and then you put
sure.
the price?
Yeah.
This says, "Dear Dave... Tell your GF, your girlfriend, your wife and kids say hi. P.S. I cleaned out bank. You're broke. Heart, Nikki and kids."
Oh, wow. That's nice.
And this is my favorite one, which I might actually...
use this at some point in the future?
No, I may get this left for me. It's a picture of Yoda.
Right.
And it says...
It's not just a picture. It's like a stuffed animal of Yoda, it looks like, isn't it?
Yeah, it does look like a stuffed animal of Yoda. And it's holding a note that... And I'll clean it up for air.
All right.
"A-hole you are."
Said in Yoda speak. Broken up with by a Jedi Knight.
That is going to be coming to me. In fact,
at some point,
might be waiting for me at home tonight when I get home.
Very possible.
All right. Judy's News coming up next here on WGN. Finally.
Look how great Judy Pilak is. Her shift ended 8 seconds ago, but she has stayed on.
Oh, this is the song. See, Wendy went wrong.
This was the song that your ex-boyfriend played for you as his way of saying, "My life is a shambles."
Listen.
That scream is him in the background.
"I didn't know a guy could cry till you made it with another guy." See, it was sweet.
Is that part true? Did you make it with another guy?
Enough of me. Judy Pilak's shift was over, and she stayed just to share her breakup story.
A tale of woe.
Yeah, okay, so I did the breaking up.
Yeah.
Okay. Of course, we didn't think.
Who would break up with you?
Yeah,
right?
Who would be that dumb?
But I, you know, when you had a call around talking about someone dumping her the day after prom, I realized, I can't believe I forgot that I dumped someone, not the day after prom, but the day after the day after.
Oh, well, that's a
oh,
little
Oh, because you wanted to go?
After tomorrow. Because, no, well, we had that, you know how after prom the next day you go
to the beach or something?
And it was all set up by me. It was a family friend, took us boating to Lake Delavan.
Yeah.
I had my friend Sharon and her date. I couldn't let them down, so we boated all day, skied, did our thing.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, that you could have cut the tension with a knife.
And then you dumped him?
And then,
on
the way home.
And then she dumped him.
Yeah, I got out of the car. It was like a bye-bye.
What reason did you give him? Did you tell him why?
He knew why. He showed up for pictures. He hadn't shaved.
Yeah.
He's like, "What are you doing?"
Hey, it worked for Don Johnson.
And his attitude was, yeah, kind of like, whatever. Aww. I'm like, really, whatever? Going to prom with me? Yeah.
And today,
but you know what's funny? We're friends today.
Oh, you are?
Yeah, he comes to town.
Yeah, because he still has the lake house. I know how you work.
No, it wasn't his lake house.
Oh, okay.
No, he left town shortly after, and now he's married and lives elsewhere. But when he comes to town, we go out to, you know, dinner and stuff, and we're friends.
Nice.
Yeah, it's hilarious.
And
we never really talk
about
it.
And his wife is aware of this, probably. Whatever.
Yeah, maybe.
Okay. Well, thank you, Judy, for sharing that sad, sad story.
Sure. Can I have a pizza?
Yeah, we've got pizzas. We'll send you a pizza.
You want a Paisano's pizza and pasta?
I can use one after that, after relaying that story.
Sure, because it still hurts. There's still some pain.
I'm sure it still hurts him, but
it does.
I moved on like the day after tomorrow.
Let's thank you, Judy. Karen has been holding for a long time. Karen, thank you so much for hanging on. Did you have a sad, sad breakup story, an awful breakup?
I do, but I was holding so long, I started to forage for food here.
Oh, so what'd you get?
Karen
Cheetos?
Bark. This is Karen Bark.
Hi, Karen Bark.
Hi, Karen.
Hi, how did you like the Bazooka Yosef gum I sent you, Wendy?
Some Hebrew gum.
I'll tell
Karen
you,
Bark.
My son Instagrammed it because he thought it was so great.
Converted.
He just thought it was so funny.
A chosen person.
Yeah. Make sure he doesn't start studying the Dead Sea Scrolls now.
Yeah, I won't. He takes Latin.
Oh, really? My daughter took that too, and you know, didn't do her any good. But
no.
He could read prescriptions. So here's my story.
What happened, Karen?
Okay, see, 1970s, my freshman year, U of I, I'm in the dorm, Bromley Hall, and I meet this guy, and we, you know, it was like young, you know, not love, but like crushes. You know, we liked each other, and it wasn't sexual. It was like, you know, too innocent for that. But like, you know, we held hands and we kissed a little. And we liked each other, and this went on. You know, we lived in the same building, so it was exciting. This went on for, you know, maybe 2 weeks, and then I happened to run into him in the stairway, and he doesn't see me or say anything.
What?
Yeah, and then I run into him like in the cafeteria, and he doesn't see me or say anything or hear me. So, I didn't know what to do. I mean, it was crazy. So one of his friends told my friend that he didn't think it was going to go anywhere. He didn't want to date me anymore, and he didn't know how to break up with me, so that's what he did. So I sent him a get-well card, because this is when the Who's Tommy was very big.
Yeah.
And because he couldn't see me or hear me.
Oh,
Tommy,
smart.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, and I wrote a whole long thing. I'm so sorry to hear about the accident that where you lost your sight and your memory and your voice, whatever. And apparently, he was devastated. I mean, I was, like, upset, like, for one day, and then I thought he was crazy.
Yeah.
But he was devastated by the car. He said that, like, cut him to the core. Well, so the rest of my college years, you know, I'd kind of see him around campus. We never said anything to each other. Years later, I'm at a party. You know, he married someone who went to school with us, and people run into each other. I run into him at, like, I don't know, Shiva House or something, and someone introduces us, and he acts like he's never met me, and we talk, like, all night really nice. So I'm sure I'll run into him again. And my friends to this day, and I'm about to go into my girlfriend's birthday party, my friends from college, we all refer to him as Tommy.
Yeah.
He doesn't know this.
Oh, that's great. You know, Karen, I hate to do this, give you a plug for your show, but we have to get you off the phone because Cubs baseball coming our way.
Okay, well, funny old broads, New Year's Eve at the Skokie Theater.
Not a bad deal.
And don't break up with Karen.
Don't.
She'll get back with you.
By using a Who song. Thank you, Karen.
All right. We have to, you know, clear the line because they need to take control. We have to send it over to Wrigley Field.
Right.
It is a home game, right?
And they're specific on what time, I learned yesterday.
Yes, yesterday you did a hard out, as they say in the business, and you did a great job.
That's nice of you.
But it was a minute early.
Yeah. And then all of our affiliates down the line.
We have no affiliates.
I know, but it sounds so impressive when you say that. We don't have any, but if we had them, they would have been very upset.
Even our snot-nosed little brother isn't even an affiliate. They couldn't care less.
I know. We're working on it. We're trying to get an affiliate. If you're a small town anywhere in America and would like to carry the show, get in touch with us.
Just our home number?
Yeah, call us at home. We would love to add you to the long list of affiliates. Is that a hard sell?
Yeah, it is.
I didn't mean to be that harsh.
Tomorrow on the show, there is something another thing we can be proud of here in Chicago.
Can we get more specific? I know exactly what you're shooting for, but I think it's unique to our city and we're the best at it, but you wouldn't think we would be or have the best, but we do.
One of our locations has been named among the top 10 finalists for America's best restroom.
Isn't that nice? The finest restroom in is it the country or the world? I don't know.
In America.
In America, and it's right here in Chicago.
Yes.
All right. We're very proud of that.
So we will talk about that on the show tomorrow. And
Flavor HD is by tomorrow. We'll talk food with them. I think just Dane tomorrow. I don't think Hannah's making it. So that'll be on the show tomorrow and a couple of other things. This is anti-superstition week. So we'll find out what celebrities do superstition wise.
It's WG. No, you don't. Cubs baseball starts 20 seconds ago.
All right. Bye. I'm out.